With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello again and welcome to the Three Inning Save Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Steven. I have a solo episode for you today, a little midweek episode. Had a chance to talk this week with Ginny Searle at Baseball Prospectus. She's an editor there and a great writer. She wrote the Dodgers season preview for 2024 over at Baseball Prospectus last week. So I wanted to talk to her about that and what to look for this season with the Dodgers. I hope you enjoy that conversation, and here it is. Okay, so I'm here with Ginny Searle of Baseball Prospectus. She wrote the Dodgers season preview last week for the site, and it was pretty definitive. I highly encourage you to read that. I'll include it in the show notes. But Ginny, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How about yourself?
Awesome. As we're recording this, the Dodgers earlier Monday, they traded Manuel Margot to the Twins, and then they re-signed Kike Hernandez, essentially swapping out like one of their, bench position player spots. Mm-hmm. Does this mean you have to rewrite the entire season preview for the Dodgers?
God, I hope not. I think it was like 2,000 words long, just because there's so many players you have to mention, especially with the Dodgers, because they're actually all good. So I think I'm gonna leave it off there. But it's an interesting move here. Like, it makes sense, but because I thought Manuel Margot was a good fit for kind of the outfield backup, fourth outfielder, and then the platoon guy with Jason Hayward, but I hadn't realized that he's actually not that well suited to the platoon role, the short side. So I think that makes sense. I'm not entirely certain whether Kike is, I don't know how great he is in terms of a platoon role, but I think he's a little bit of a better hitter generally than Margot. So it seems like a slight upgrade at least.
Kike, like, in his career has had, pretty severe platoon splits, but also last year he was terrible with the Red Sox, but then
he was just terrible, but also I think
he had double hernia surgery after the season. It was at the end of a season it's always weird to find out what players were like hiding or playing with, like,
And then you just figure out, oh, that explains why, you know, like David Peralta had elbow surgery that he was apparently bothered with since the All-Star break. And then you look back, oh, he had zero homers and like a 50-something WRC plus after the All-Star break. Okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, you do kind of wonder, like, I mean, some of those guys are like, I don't know that you should be playing through this just in terms of performance, but also,
yeah.
You know, it just makes you feel bad because it's so easy to forget if a guy was on the field, whether he was hurt. Like, writing up the preview, I was talking about Will Smith's, like, power output decreasing, and Craig mentioned to me, Craig Goldstein, the editor-in-chief of Baseball Prospectus, mentioned to me, like, he had a cracked rib, like, for a bunch of the season, so that could easily have played a role in that. Like,
even weirder part about that with Will Smith, you know, so a lot of his decline came like in the second half, or like maybe until about September, but I think he suffered the cracked rib in April, and like it didn't come out until like August or something. So they're always playing through something. And he also missed time in April with, this was before the cracked rib, but he had concussion. He didn't really deal with it the rest of the season, I don't think. But yeah, you're right. Like, there's always something going on. I enjoyed, you know, the preview you wrote is very comprehensive, but I also enjoyed the sort of poster spirit in you. You included a classic tweet. The Dodgers are basically the inverse of this. I'm just going to read the tweet because I have it in front of me. Mm-hmm. It's the mysterious old lady flips tarot card, revealing a dude who looks exactly like me, flying a hot air balloon into power lines. Me, is that good? Like, that's an all-timer. And I'm just wondering, are there other, like, either tweets or, like, classic, like, internet things like that that sort of occupy space inside your head that you're always, you can sort of point to or use as a jumping off point for writing?
I'm trying to think about it as a jumping off point for writing. I do always think about, like, I don't remember the specifics of the tweet, but the template that's like my shirt that says I do not commit any crimes or whatever it is answering a lot of questions already, or asking a lot of questions already answered by the shirt. Like, I think about that one pretty often.
Yeah. No, that's pretty solid.
Like, I think that's kind of like MLB's like, oh, well, actually you could see through the uniforms last year. And it's like, okay, I think that raises more questions, actually. Let's get into that.
When I turned 40 8 years ago, and which means I'm very old now, but like, I wrote the season preview for the Dodgers, that it happened to come out on my 40th birthday. So I was very much fighting back and, trying to harken back to my youth. And I think I quoted, I essentially framed the preview around like an old Ice Cube rap or song or something. Like, it's such an old man thing to do. Like, I don't know. It just felt very weird, but that can be fun sometimes. You know, it gives you a different way to like, get to what you, I guess, want to write about in total.
I mean, I really like just like jumping directly into something. I like to have at least some kind of, you know, something to lead into it. And it can be hard sometimes to come up with stuff, for sure. I think that's one of the more difficult aspects for me of writing stuff.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So you noted in the article sort of like the Dodgers being the inverse of that tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I also really enjoyed, I'm going to quote you here from the piece. The Dodgers front office has decided the best way to foolproof themselves for the playoffs is to sand off every rough edge that anything short of help from every member of the roster is not enough. I think that very accurately describes like what they try to do, right? And then like I think what they did a pretty good job of, like in the offseason at least. But given all that, like just looking at the roster and the article that you wrote, and it has various projections in there and explanations within, are there any points in the roster that you might see as like, you know, somewhat vulnerable? It's all like a relative scale, I guess, but like where do you see like the Dodgers' weaker points?
Yeah, I mean, I won't go with the bullpen because I feel like that's the easy answer for any team because, you know, yeah. Who really knows? But I think the Joe Kelly wild card is always something. But aside from that, I would just say, you know, the outfield is, I think I mentioned in the preview, it's, you know, I think role players can sometimes seem like an insult, like Dammy with Frank Fraser or whatever. But I think that you can't have just, for a lot of reasons, you can't just have an actual team where every single guy is an all-star. But basically that's what the infield looks like. And that's what the first half of the rotation looks like. But not the outfield, right? The outfield is Outman, you know, he was great last year, but I think DRC plus is relatively harsh on him. BP's offensive metric. And I think that Pakoda, our projection system, expects him to regress relatively significantly, although, you know, not to the point where he's not an average major leaguer. And then, you know, Hayward, the Dodgers did a good job helping kind of find the best way to utilize him last year. And then Teoscar Hernandez is Patrick, another editor at Baseball Prospectus, is line that he's like the most inconsistently consistent guy around, because even though he's having streak after streak after streak where he's hot or cold, he just ends up with like a remarkably similar line each year. So, you know, doesn't seem like it's the highest upside group. There's definitely a chance that Outman is the player he was again last year, and he's just, you know, another all-star at that point. But I don't think anyone's expecting Hayward to have some huge resurgence, or, you know, I think at this point people have given up on hoping that Hernandez has like another year offensively. So I'm not sure that there's a huge upper bound on how good things can get here, whereas the infield there's, you know, two guys capable of an MVP easily, right? So I think that if you're inclined to being worried, this would be the place to do it. But also, like I'm saying, you know, Hernandez is a very consistent player. Outman is young and performed like a star in his first real taste of big league action. And, you know, Hayward is, while he maybe got a lot of flack for his performance during his prior contract, it's not like he was ever unplayable during it, right? And even the lower end for him is probably just being more of a pinch hitter than the platoon guy. So I feel like there's ways that it could go wrong, but it mostly just feels like it's not a standout superlative category, so it's by default their weakest.
Yeah. That makes sense. I know that when the Dodgers signed Teoscar, and I have not gone to spring training, but just seeing some of the reports from there, like the Brandon Gomes, the general manager, and Hernandez brought up that he did not really adjust very well to like hitting in Seattle, like at T-Mobile, and you know, the park's notoriously like tough on right-handers. And it seems like they're like banking on sort of a return to like form in some ways of that, but you never know. But you're right. With some of those people, but also, it's weird. Like I feel like, you know, I'm asking you what are like the weak points, but I'm trying not to gloss over like the Dodgers literally did like add Shohei Ohtani to their lineup, which is like obviously the biggest thing. And it's hard to like just sort of overlook that. I mean, that it really does, you know, you mentioned like, they're sanding over the rough edge, but you could also like smooth over a lot of things just by having Shohei Ohtani in your lineup, and you don't have to worry about like every other problem becomes less important, I guess, in a way. So that's probably a good thing to have.
Right. Yeah. They had a 110 DRC plus last year as a collective lineup. And I think Atlanta might've been a little bit better, but it's definitely second in the league, if not first. And I mean, they basically lost no one and added the best hitter in arguably the best hitter in the game right now. It's crazy.
Yeah. I was surprised too. I think hit Ohtani's projected WAR isn't it higher than Freeman and Betts, and
yeah,
like, which is remarkable because he's DH. Like,
yeah, it's 5.9, so he's like a win and a half above both of them. Which, yeah, it's wild.
Yeah, he really is a unique player.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, like, you know, I think his weakest offensive season in MLB was in 2019 when he was rehabbing from his first Tommy John. I guess we still don't know definitively whether he had a second or not, but rehabbing from Tommy John in 2019 was his weakest offensive season. But I think at the point that you're worrying about that is, I feel like it's a good thing, you know, good place to be worrying about. I think that that's like, if you have someone coming over and you're like, oh, well, I vacuumed and dusted and everything, but did I polish the floor? I think that you're maybe over worrying a little bit.
Yeah, I think too that applies, that this overall nature applies, I think, to the pitching staff, especially the starters. You know, I think you could sort of make an argument the last like three Octobers, the Dodgers basically like ran out of starting pitching. Like last year was comically so, because they started a very clearly compromised Clayton Kershaw in game one. And then, you know, Bobby Miller was fine for them as a rookie, but he's game two and didn't pitch well. But then, Lance Lynn was so bad with the White Sox, yet when the Dodgers acquired him, he made sense in a weird way. And, like,
yeah.
And
I
then
was, the I want to say he gave up 44 home runs last year, which is just wild.
I think it was, yeah. I think that it was either, was it 44 or 46? I lost track. There was
44?
A lot.
44? Wow.
Yeah. But then four in one inning in his postseason start, which did not last long, but longer than the other two. So, I it's hard for me. Like, they have such turnover on the staff, right? This just from this winter, they signed Yamamoto to, you know, the largest deal ever for a pitcher. They traded for Tyler Glass now. They're getting Walker Buehler back, but like, he's going to be on an innings limit. It's probably not going to start until like May. And then the rounding out the rotation for now, at least, they signed James Paxton, but he has an injury concern. There was a knee thing that they were originally going to sign him for $11 million, and they knocked the guarantee down to $7 million because of concerns about the knee.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so just weird stuff like that. But, you know, like Glasnow, he pitched 120 innings last year, and that's the most he's ever pitched. Obviously they brought Kershaw back, but he's probably not going to pitch till like August or maybe July at the earliest.
Yeah.
Dustin May is two elbow surgeries in, and another sort of like Ohtani. There was a little more, I think, definitiveness in his second surgery. They said it was, well, he had flexor tendon repair, but then it was a revision to his first Tommy John as well. So he didn't have a second Tommy John. Like, Ohtani was very vague about.
Yeah.
They said it was unique or something. You know, it wasn't a Tommy John, but it's not like, it's still a major elbow surgery and he's not going to pitch. But I don't know. It just it seems like they have there's so many, and also all the like the rookies. You know, I guess that rounds out everything. So, you know, Emmett Sheehan, Gavin Stone, Landon Knack, Kyle Hurt. I guess Michael Grove if he's not pitching in the bullpen, and eventually River Ryan. But I don't know. I don't know if this is a question or not. I'm just sort of saying there's so many question marks, but I think they really are going with like a weird combination of quantity and quality in a way, but like they're just trying to figure out, hope to have like, you know, four of them ready in October. I guess. I don't know how you build a staff, to be honest, these days, like given how pitchers are used. It's a very weird, but it's like somewhat functional staff. Like it's not like, I don't think it's bad. My brain is still used to like older methods of like roster building, I guess, or, you know, like I was looking at the 2024 baseball cards over the weekend. On the back of the Dodgers team card, it has like the team leaders at different positions or whatever, pretty standard old baseball card thing. And it just said ERA, no qualifier. And it's like, that hurt my soul a little bit. But I don't know if the Dodgers will have a qualifier this year, but I also don't know if they need to. Like, what are your general thoughts about their pitching staff? That was like the longest question ever. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, I think that it's not I think you mentioned when you were just sending me like the topics we were going to cover that you were a little bit more apprehensive than most about this Dodgers rotation, which I think is completely understandable given the way that the last season ended. I will say that like the Dodgers currently have far and away our best projection from the rotation in any preview that we've done so far. Looking through, I think that the closest WAR that we have for another rotation is like 9.6 for the Phillies. So, and I mean, it goes, we have our depth charts, which we have the people who do our depth charts, I think, do really good work in terms of getting a good sense of who's actually going to be likely to appear and thinking that stuff through. We have, I think, six guys who are slated for 10% of the innings or more. Yamamoto, Buehler, Glasnow, Miller, Clayton Kershaw, and Paxton. And, you know, I think that it's hard to feel like it's a settled thing when only two of those guys appeared at all for the Dodgers last year. You know, Buehler obviously has been around in the past, but it's still kind of shaky with him coming back from his own surgery. And then, you know, it's Yamamoto's going to be great, but he's never pitched in the MLB, even though, you know, I mean, anyone who's seen this stuff, I think, is going to have few doubts about his ability to succeed, but it's still a big transition. So it could be worrisome. And then, right, as you mentioned with Glasnow, the health, you know, he's, I think not only was he pitched 120 innings last year. That was like his only time getting above 100 innings in his entire MLB career, I believe. Like I was looking up and I was like, oh, how has this guy never had any kind of awards voting? And it's because he's just never appeared enough. So, I mean, I think that it's understandable to be concerned about that. I'd imagine pretty much any Dodgers fan is going to have a little bit of horror flashbacks to October for a while here. So I think that it makes sense. But on the other hand, you know, this rotation, I think that there's 12 guys named on our depth chart who might get innings as a starter, and not a single one of them is like below replacement level, which is just wild. You know, that they can go 12 deep while still theoretically, you know, and obviously the projections could be wrong, but 12 deep while theoretically having all guys who can positively contribute is just, it is kind of nuts. I think that there's another question raised of like, or I guess a concern raised, like, well, I mean, surely these guys can't all, like, if somehow the rotation mainly stays healthy, some of these guys are not going to get innings in the rotation. And I don't know exactly where the option status on, you know, guys like Michael Grove or Landon Knack, guys like that. I'm not exactly sure where those are, but you know, at some point, maybe some of those guys will no longer be stretched out enough to appear in the rotation. So I guess it can't remain quite so deep forever throughout the whole season. But on the other hand, it seems like they've really done their best to foolproof themselves and have as many options as they can, you know? They, you know, Glasnow is, I guess, technically he's more a swap in than a just straight addition in terms of not value, but, you know, innings output, because I believe I saw that Ryan Pepiot is also projected for the same percentage of the overall starting pitching innings as Glasnow, 14%, which I think he probably would be doing in Los Angeles as well, potentially a little bit lower down in the rotation. So I guess in theory, the only like additions that the Dodgers have made who they wouldn't have had access to last year, barring injury, were Yamamoto, Glasnow, who's an add-in, and then Paxton, who, if he can break 100 innings, that's a medical marvel, probably.
Sure.
So I was just saying it's reasonable to be concerned, but like there's a lot of moving parts here, but they're good parts. So I don't know.
Yeah, and I will say, relative to maybe some other recent years, the depth chart here is actually functional. Like outside of Bobby Miller can technically be optioned, but I don't think he will. But like the rest of the guys on the lower end, like Sheehan, Stone, Grove, Hurt, Ryan, or Ryan's not on the 40-man yet. He probably will be at some point. But and Knack, they can all be options. So
okay,
like,
that's good. So they can keep them in AAA.
Yeah. Yeah. So I suspect like there's been a lot of clamor. I also write at True Blue LA, and in our comment section, you know, people are wondering why don't they do a 6-man rotation, you know, to sort of figure this out and like spread the innings around, that sort of a thing. There's because of off days, they don't really feel like using a 6-man rotation, at least unless, you know, here and there. But I think having those guys with options, I think that's how they'll do it. They'll call up one person for a spot start or maybe two, and then shuffle them back and forth, and then just sort of do it that way. Yeah. But yeah, it's very functional. I remember, like a decade ago, it seemed crazy at the time. The Dodgers had. They went into spring with like 8 under contract starters, like couldn't be option folks. And everyone's like, well, how are they going to manage this? And they did end up trading like Aaron Harang, like in the first week of the season, I think. But just to give you an idea of where the like talent level was organization wise back then. But the funniest part, so that year they entered the spring or entered the season with 8 like actual starting pitchers. But then they used a 9th different starting pitcher, I think, by game 26 that year. So, like, injuries always just rear their head. It's always wild. So
yeah, very, very true as well. So maybe they will need every one of those dozen guys. But, you know, it seems like a good group. And I guess one thing about the 6-man rotation that I was thinking when you said that is, you know, that's Yamamoto's been doing that for his entire career, because that's pretty much just how they work in the MPB. They get one start per week. But, you know, so I guess that in theory could be an argument for going to the 6-man rotation, right? Like the Angels, I think, went to a 6-man rotation whenever Ohtani, pretty much whenever he was in the rotation for them. I think they had a 6-man rotation. But I guess on the other hand, you know, if they want to really push and see it as much as they can get Yamamoto, if they think that he's, you know, like a pitcher on the level of Gerrit Cole, which is, I suppose, the comparison invited by his contract beating out Cole's by 1 million, then they probably want to see him pitching as frequently as possible rather than every 6 days. And if that transition is going to happen at some point in his career, it's probably better for it to be now than at any future year.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Jenny, I really enjoyed the season preview. I enjoyed your work.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot.
At Baseball Perspectives. Yeah, I was just wondering if folks want to find you online, where can they find you?
I am still on Twitter, technically, and I think also on Blue Sky, although I am really terribly awful at using both. I need to be better at it, but like suppose it's hard to blame oneself for not being online these days, but you know, the self promo got to do better. But it's at Ginny Searle on Twitter and at Ginny Searle dot blue sky dot social. Yeah.
Well, thanks again for coming on. And this has been the Three Inning Save podcast talking about the Dodgers season preview with Ginny Searle, Baseball Prospectus. We'll be back with our regular episode later in the week.